Welcome to Let's Get Real with Mike Robbins. Mike is a well-known keynote speaker, personal development expert, and the best-selling author of the book titled Focus on the Good Stuff and Be Yourself. Everyone else is already taken. Mike delivers life-enhancing speeches, seminars, and workshops throughout the United States and Canada, and has inspired tens of thousands through his speaking, coaching, and writing.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome to Let's Get Real with me, Mike Robbins. Glad you're joining us today. And if you're actually joining us today, which is January 22nd here at noon Pacific time, 3 Eastern time, we are coming to you live. This is the first live show I've ever done, which I'm very excited about. We often record our shows here in the studio in San Francisco for Energy Talk Radio, and then you listen on the live stream, but they're often recorded, or you can, you know, of course, download them on demand. So if you're joining us here on the 22nd of January, you're hearing us live. If it's after that, you can still enjoy the show. It'll be great. It just won't be in the moment. But for everyone listening live, feel free to either send me an email as we go through today's show at mike@mike-robbins.com or call the studio at 415-576-1008. That's 415-576-1008 if you want to ask a question or join the conversation. I'm really excited about today's show. And David wants to say something.
Also, I just want to let people know another way that you can contact us is by going to facebook.com/energytalkradio, and you can send a message there. And we'd be happy to do any shout outs or love devotions, whatever you want.
This is a big deal. This is a big deal. We're excited. So thanks for joining us. My guest today, I'm really excited about today's show. And my guest, he is a friend of mine, someone I've known, at least known of him and his work, and been in touch with him by email and otherwise for a number of years, but actually just had a chance to meet him in person for the very first time. So let me tell you about him and his work, and then I'll tell you a little bit more about him personally and then bring him on. His name is John Gordon, and John is a consultant, a keynote speaker, and the international best-selling author of The Energy Bus, another great book called The No Complaining Rule, Training Camp, and his most recent book, The Shark and the Goldfish. And John and his books have been featured on CNN, on NBC's Today Show, as well as in Forbes, Fast Company, O, the Oprah Magazine, the Wall Street Journal, and the New York Times. He's worked with such clients as the Atlanta Falcons, the PGA Tour, Northwestern Mutual, JP Morgan Chase, and many others. He's a graduate of Cornell, and he holds a master's degree in teaching and works with numerous business professionals, sports teams, schools, universities, nonprofit organizations. And you can find out more about him at his website, johngordon.com, and it's johngordon.com, johngordon.com. I'll reference that throughout today. And as I said, you know, John and I have been familiar with each other. We've known each other and connected. And just last week, he came out here to the Bay Area and spoke at Stanford University. And I had a chance to see him speak there, as well as we went that evening for him to speak to a group of school principals out here in Northern California as well, and just had a wonderful, wonderful time, a great day, really connected. And it's so nice to meet someone that you respect and respect their work, and then find out that they happen to be a great person in addition to that and really walk their talk. And that's who John Gordon is. So without further ado, John, welcome to the show.
It's great to be with you, Mike. Thank you. And it was great to be with you as well. And you definitely walk your talk as well. And so we had a great time. Your listeners should know that we had a chance to speak to these principals together.
Yes.
And I have received numerous emails from people thanking me for the talk, but also for bringing you because they loved you and your talk.
Hey, well, thanks so much. It was great. You know, these principals, for everybody, you know, they hired John, they brought him out, and then John said, hey, man, do you want to get up and speak? And I was like, of course. Are you kidding? But it was great. So thanks for letting me get up and talk. And my favorite moment of the whole night, John, was when all of a sudden, after I spoke for a few minutes and then John got up and was giving his talk, you know, all of a sudden he goes, Mike's going to come up and give you 3 things you can do to keep people more positive. And I was like, oh, gosh. So I jumped up and did it. But, you know, then come to find out later, John had to go to the bathroom.
I had to go to the restroom and needed a break very quickly and needed Mike to come in and relief. I was like a pitcher whose arm got tired and needed some relief.
That's right. Well, hey, I appreciate it. You know, one of my intentions for the new year, John, is to work in team and collaboration more, given that, you know, I'm a former team guy and an athlete and all of that. So that was a good manifestation of that. So thank you, my friend. It was it was great to meet you, and I'm glad that we're getting to know each other even better, and I'm so glad to have you here on the show. And as I was mentioning in the lead into this, this is a big deal here at Energy Talk Radio. We mostly record our shows and then they just air multiple times after we record them and people listen to them on the live stream, but they're not actually live or they download them on demand. But today's show we're actually doing live, which is exciting. I can feel the difference here in the studio as we're doing it, knowing people are listening to us talk right now. So with that said, I'd love for John, for you to tell us and everyone listening a little bit about your journey, because, you know, you have a fascinating background and sort of what, you know, now you've written 6 books in the last, gosh, I don't know, 8 years, which is pretty remarkable. And, you know, what, tell us a little bit about kind of what brought you to this point and led you to do the kind of work that you do.
Sure. About 9 years ago, I was really struggling in my own life. I got fired from my job. It was during the dot-com crash. I didn't know how I was going to pay the bills. Only 2 months savings, only 2 weeks of severance the company paid. So didn't have any money for insurance. It was really a scary time. And my wife and I were fighting a lot. And she just said, look, you know, you've got to change. You know, you're not the man that I married. And I looked at myself and I said, you know, what happened to that guy? Where was that guy who had all this optimism? Where was the guy who thought he could take on the world? I had been beaten down by the stress, the fear, the negativity of life, and knew, you know, I wanted to find that person again. So I remember just saying to God, you know, why am I here? What am I born to do? You know, how can I make a difference? I can't continue doing what I'm doing now. I feel like I'm dying every day instead of living. Yeah. I have to start living. And I just started praying on that. And then writing and speaking just kept on coming to me. I don't know why. It just did. And I felt like, okay, I want to inspire the way I was inspired by people and books that I had read. And so I just thought I was going to start doing that. It was one of those things, why do painters paint? Why do musicians create music? Why do you do what you do, Mike? I just felt... it was my, my DNA.
Yeah.
And it was my fate, my destiny, and God's plan for me.
Wow. So here we are 9 years later and 6 books. And I know the 7th one is coming out here in just a few months. You know, for people listening who, I know so many people, John, I'm sure you do too, who, you know, have big dreams and goals and things that they want to accomplish, which we all do. But, you know, listening to your story, and I was struck by this last week when we were spending time together and I was asking you some of these questions just as we were hanging out at Starbucks or in the car. But, you know, how the heck do you write 7 books in the course of about 8 years, man? That's pretty unbelievable.
It's one of those things where I really believe the more you listen, the more you ask what you're supposed to write, not what you want to write.
Mm.
The more you become a conduit for the message that you're meant to share.
Wow.
And so every day I walk, and on my walks, I pray.
Mm-hmm.
And while I'm praying and practicing gratitude, the ideas for these books just come to me.
Yeah.
Every book that I have thought of and have written has come to me during my walks and during my prayer.
Yeah.
And so it's not books that I say, I'm going to write this book. My first 2 books were those books.
Right.
But it was after those 2 that I just really started to get the books that I was supposed to write.
Yeah.
And that's how I do it. And I already know the next 3 or 4 that I'm going to write.
That's pretty
good. I've already been given sort of the ideas and for those.
Wow.
So, a lot of people, I compare it to like a musician, you know, where a musician will sit down and start to get notes in their head and patterns start to, you know, arrange themselves. And next thing you know, they have a song.
Yeah.
And it's a very similar thing, I think. And so where does that come from? You know, some people call it consciousness.
Yeah.
Some people call it the universe. But, you know, I often think, and, you know, the fact that the universe means one song,
mm-hmm.
you know, one song. And I think if you know and hear a song, you know that there's a creator of the song. Someone had to create the song that you hear.
Yes.
And so I believe someone or something or a higher power created the universe.
Yes.
And the universe is created.
Yeah.
So there's something beyond the universe. The universe doesn't give me the ideas. The universe is by which the means that maybe it's transferred to me.
Mm.
But I believe that there's a creator of the one song. And then we're all expressions of that creator.
Wow. That's beautiful. You know, as you're talking, and I think you and I spoke about this again last week when we were together, and for everyone listening, if you haven't had a chance to check out Elizabeth Gilbert, who wrote Eat, Pray, Love, her talk at the TED conference last year, she talked about this exact thing, John, that you're talking about, and also about sort of catching the inspiration, allowing it to come through you.
Yeah.
And there's a great piece in her story, and if anyone goes online and just Googles that, she talks about a great poet who told stories about being out in the field and seeing the poem come up over the hill, literally like feeling it, sensing it, noticing it was there, and like running back to her cottage to jump into her chair to write before the poem went away. And she would like, you know, and there were times that she actually would get there and say it was just leaving, and she'd pull it back in, and then she'd write the poem literally backwards.
Yeah.
But it was the inspiration flowing through her that what you're talking about is coming from God, that you just open up to it as you do on your walks with your gratitude.
Yeah, think about all the inventions that ever came about. It wasn't just one person who got the idea for the invention.
Yes.
The idea came through to many people.
Right.
And I really believe that's to ensure that the idea gets passed along.
Yeah.
Because some people may opt out.
Right.
Some people may get lazy and not do it.
Yeah, it's true.
And God wants to make sure that these certain things are meant to be passed through our society at the point in time that we are now living.
Yeah.
And so it's given to several people, and who's going to do it?
Yeah.
Who's going to take action on it? Who's going to take initiative? And so the insights come, and it's who's open, who's listening, and who's willing to take what they hear and then act upon it.
Wow.
And you're right, because it's funny. When I'm walking, I would get these great ideas, and by the time I would get back, I would have to literally run upstairs to my home office and start typing right away before I would lose the inspiration. But now even something even better has happened. I now have a BlackBerry that I walk with.
Nice.
And while I'm walking, I'll be typing on the BlackBerry now as the ideas come.
That's great.
Now, I don't read my email while I'm walking, because then that will lose everything.
Exactly. That'll make you crazy.
Right. And you'll multitask, and you won't be able to get the insights because now your mind's on something else.
Right.
While I'm walking, the idea comes. Boom. Get the idea. Start typing.
Nice.
So I've written my most recent book. Half of it has been on the BlackBerry as I take these walks.
Oh, my goodness. That's
and
nice.
Then I email it to myself, come back, and literally go to my Outlook, copy it, and then paste it right in the Word document.
That's great.
And then build upon the inspiration that I just had.
That's awesome, John.
And now I'm writing even quicker than I did in the past for this. So technology can be put to good use if you decide to use it in a good way.
Unbelievable, man. You're going to have, next time we talk in like a year, you're going to have like 12 books out. This is crazy. All right, we're gonna take a break here, John. And when we come back, I'd love to talk about some of your recent books specifically, and also hear a little bit about this new one that's coming back. Again, we're talking to best-selling author, keynote speaker, consultant John Gordon. Go to his website at johngordon.com. That's John without an H, J-O-N-G-O-R-D-O-N, johngordon.com. Check out more about his books and his work. And when we come back, we're going to talk more specifically about some of the great books that John has written. You're listening to Mike Robbins here on Let's Get Real on Energy Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to EnergyTalkRadio.com. If you would like to listen to any show on demand, please go to our shows page, find the program you're looking for, and click on the View All Shows button. There you can play any show on any device that plays MP3s. We hope you enjoy this convenient feature, knowing that you're making a difference just by listening. And now more of Let's Get Real with Mike Robbins.
Hey there, welcome back. Glad you're with us. Again, if you're just joining us, we're coming to you live today here on Energy Talk Radio. It's January 22nd. If you're hearing this after that, we're obviously not live anymore, but we are at the moment. And really excited. Nice rainy day here in San Francisco. And we're having a great conversation with my friend and best-selling author, John Gordon. And John has written, as I was mentioning, 6 books in a relatively short amount of time, which is pretty amazing. We were talking a little bit about that before the break, and I know there's a new one coming out. So, John, you know, as you mentioned, your first 2 books you said were more about kind of you trying to write the books you thought you were going to. And ironically, here we are on Energy Talk Radio. Your first 2 books were specifically about energy, The Energy Addict and The 10-Minute Energy Solution. And then something I know, because we've talked about this, and I'd just be curious if you'd share a little bit about it. You had kind of your own personal awakening, spiritual awakening as well, and it made a difference and really shifted the focus of your work. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. When I first started writing my first 2 books, I was more of a seeker and was a student of many different religions. And in that process, I was, you know, writing all these different thoughts and ideas and tips based on that work. And it really changed me and improved me in many ways. I'm glad that I studied all the religions I studied. I'm glad I studied all the different thought processes I studied. And it molded me in a lot of ways of thinking and mental discipline and positivity and positive psychology and Buddhism and all that good stuff. And then from there, though, I was searching for more. I was searching to get rid of this pain that I had, this burden, this big knot in my stomach that caused this anxiousness and fear that I could just never seem to get rid of. And no matter what I tried and all the techniques and all the chanting and all the EFT technique and all that good stuff, nothing seemed to fully work. All the energy techniques that I was studying and Qigong and all that good stuff, none of it really fully was working. And it was during, you know, when I lost my job and during the dot-com crash and all that, I surrendered for the first time. This is the first time I just surrendered and said, God, I can't do it alone. Help me. Help me, God. Help, you know, me during this time. And that was a big part in my life of that surrender. For some reason, I at that moment, from that moment on, I began to rely more on God and less on myself. And I'd always believed that there was a God. I always felt I there was a creator that I had a relationship to. And then from there, many years later, I had an experience where a good friend of mine, Daniel Decker, gave me some good CDs and good sermons recently from some young emerging pastors who were talking about Jesus. And they were talking about Jesus in a way that I had not heard before. They were talking about Jesus, you know, not as a condemning Jesus, not as a Jesus that came here to tell you how bad you are and how much of a sinner you are,
right.
But the Jesus that loves us and the Jesus that came here for us. And one of the sermons was Why I Follow Jesus. And then another one was Covered in Dust. And it was about Jesus as a Jewish rabbi. And I grew up Jewish.
Right.
So hearing this sermon about Jesus as a Jewish rabbi, wow, I really began to resonate and relate. And the more I learned and then read after that about Jesus, I started to really identify with that. And then I had this prayer moment where I said, all right, God, if there is something to this Jesus, if he is who they say he is, just show me the signs. And one day I was driving along on the road, and I saw this big old sign that said, Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. And I was like, whoa. And then literally about a couple months later, I was driving down to Orlando to speak and was looking one way, and I heard this voice that said, turn. And I turned, and it was another sign that says, Jesus is the answer.
Mm.
And I was like, wow, there is something to this. So then I went to this Buddhist energy healer who was a good friend of mine, and he had worked on me before the Today Show when I was having all this, you know, blockages of negative energy, and
right.
Went to see him, and he said, I said, hey, what do you make of these signs that I'm seeing with Jesus? And he said, John, you know, I got to tell you this. He said, it was set up that way. I said, what do you mean? Well, it's an energy system. I said, you know, I'm a Buddhist. I still want to try to practice enlightenment, and 99.9% of us, no matter how much we try, we're not going to attain it. He said, I consider Christianity like spiritual cheating. He said, all you do is believe and receive, and that's it. And I was like, that's it? He's like, that's it. And it was weird. I look back now, like, why would he believe that? Why wouldn't he just take that then? Why wouldn't he take the gift?
Yeah.
And I walked out of there going, it all made sense. See, I saw the world in terms of energy.
Right.
So I needed to see it in terms of that, and that's how God was speaking to me. And then from there, I walked out. I said, "That's it. I'm going to give this a shot." And so I came to see Jesus as my ultimate energy healer,
wow.
who came to take my burden, who came to take my pain, and to reconcile me to Father God. He didn't come to condemn me. He came to save me. And if I was in a pit, you know, he wouldn't try to just teach me to get out. He wasn't just a prophet. He wasn't just a teacher. He truly came to save me. And I also came to believe that, you know, in a world where, you know, it seems like so many religions, people are trying to escape this world. Jesus is the only one that came here to this world, and he came here to make heaven on earth, not to make, you know, not to escape earth, but make heaven on earth. And that's what I try to do, and that's what I believe. I want to try to make, you know, earth like heaven, and I think every one of us can do that and go out there and share love and share kindness. And I go back to the ultimate commandment is to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. And to me, that's what I subscribe to. And I'm not here to condemn anyone else. I'm here to love others. I'm here to share that love. And all I know for me, I'm not here to convince anyone of a religion, but all I know is the Christian faith it was meant for me,
yeah.
and meant for my journey, because I found in that faith I have the most intimate, closest, deepest relationship with God that I have longed for.
Yeah.
And through that deepest, you know, most intimate relationship, I have now received the passion and the purpose that God ultimately wants for me. So I really believe God has, you know, tries to bring us closer to him.
Yeah.
And Jesus does that. It's weird for my wife too. She would literally have, you know, we were both New Age seekers together, and she would have these meditations, and Jesus would come to her in these meditations.
Wow.
And why does Deepak Chopra write a book called Jesus, you know?
Right.
And why does all these people seem to have these kind of revelations, you know, because there's something to it.
Well,
but I believe.
No, absolutely, John. And I appreciate you sharing. I'm glad you shared all of that. And I know we've had a couple conversations about it personally, and I even heard more just in what you shared now. And what I find really amazing and remarkable about what you're talking about for your own, you know, spiritual evolution and your own spiritual awakening is, you know, I mean, just looking at it on the surface, raised Jewish, New Age seeker, Christian. Like, not that many people go that route, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not the normal progression. And I'm at a lot of people who listen to Energy Talk Radio and listen to this show specifically probably have not followed that path. And what I've found, you know, when you started sharing it with me, even personally, my initial reaction was like, oh man, don't come at me with all the Jesus stuff. But it was just such an interesting, because I noticed my own defense mechanism go up from my own upbringing.
Right.
But what's amazing is hearing you talk about it, and the few times I've heard you talk about it, and being around you and just sensing, like, really the spiritual awakening that you had in a real way, and seeing also how that's manifested in your life and in your work and in a sense of peace and surrender. That just is really a beautiful, remarkable thing. So I just want to acknowledge you for that.
I appreciate that. And I think it's what you said is most important. It's about the fruit that your life brings forth.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're transformed, then that transformation should be grounded in this world, and it should be reflected in the work that you do.
Yeah.
And, you know, the kind of, again, the kind of pastors I listen to, the kind of you know, Christians I know and the ones I admire have been the ones that, wow, these guys really walk the walk.
Yeah.
They're not someone who just, you know, reads the stuff, gets on stage and gives a nice big talk and then walks away in their multi-million-dollar car.
Right.
And then treats other people like, you know, crap. These are people who, wow, you're around them. You can feel their presence.
Sure.
You can feel their love.
Yeah.
And there's something really special about them. And, you know, that's what I have found in my own life. It's made me a better person.
Yeah.
And all I know is in my writing and the difference I've made since my awakening has been 100 times fold. And I know I'm being used to go out there and share the love and share the message in that way. So if I could just do that, I mean, none of us are going to live forever, but I really believe we can live forever through the legacy we leave in others.
Yeah.
And if we're being used to do that, as you are as well, then we go out and do that. And that's why we're here.
That's great. I know David, who's an engineer here and also one of the co-founders of Energy Talk Radio, wanted to say something in response to that.
You know, it's really interesting hearing about your personal journey, and I really can identify with it a lot. I was raised as a Jehovah's Witness, and growing up in that made me really dislike Christianity.
Right.
As a young adult.
Yeah, I bet.
And so I went off into, you know, all sorts of new age kind of stuff and all different kinds of things, and wound up studying this really out there from my upbringing aspect of Hinduism.
Yes.
Out there. But, you know, the funny thing is that it took me going all the way through that to then finally like have like an understanding where I go, oh, that's what Jesus was talking about. Oh, that makes sense.
Right.
Like, oh, that's cool. That, you know, because I remember the one thing, you know, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is at hand, you know, and for me and my family and the people around me, that meant look busy, God's coming, you know.
Right.
But, and I think a lot of people are turned off because of the church turns so many people off. There's a great book that Dan Kimball wrote. He's up in the California area. He wrote a wonderful book that said they love Jesus but not the church.
Yeah.
And there's so many people out there who identify with Jesus but not the church, and then they allow the church to turn them off. But I'll never forget what a pastor friend of mine, Irwin McManus, said. He said, don't let Christians keep you from Jesus.
Yeah.
And I thought that was, right, that was really great advice because, again, it's not, you know, there's so many out there. Like, there's these gun company I was just reading about,
yeah,
that there's this company that manufactures all these guns for the Pentagon and all this, you know, armor, and they're putting Bible verses on gun scopes.
Yeah.
And I really don't believe that that was God's purpose.
No.
To put Bible verses on gun scopes to kill.
No.
I really believe it's ultimately, you know, hopefully the ultimate is peace and love.
Yeah. Well, and so, you know, John, it's so great because I think, again, it's in our country, and I know there's people listening from around the world as well, but specifically here in the United States, things have gotten so polarized and politicized around religion, specifically around Christianity. And I unfortunately, I think what happens so often, and it's easy for people on the left side or the liberal side of things to talk about it from one perspective. And look, I grew up here in the Bay Area, and this is like the liberal capital of the country. Do you know what I mean? In terms of, but I've often noticed that whether we're talking politics or we're talking religion or we're talking, there can be an ultra conservatism, an ultra reactionaryism in our, you know, progressive beliefs. If you don't believe what I believe, I don't want to talk to you. And again, you could put that on any side of any issue, whether we're talking, you know, a social issue or we're talking about our own relationship with God. And I get sad about it and see it even in my own life and think that if we can actually start to openly, with more compassion, have conversations with each other when we think differently or have different thoughts and beliefs and share in a way that is loving, that's expansive. Because I got to say, I've learned just in a handful of conversations with you a whole different aspect of – and look, I was raised going to a Lutheran church as a Christian, and it's not that I'm unfamiliar with, you know, Christianity or with the Bible, but – a lot of my own spiritual progression has put it into an other category. And again, I know a lot of people listening to this show probably have that thought too. It's like, you know, I've stepped into my own spirituality, or like David mentioning being raised as a Jehovah's Witness. It's like, I'm not going to do what my folks did. I'm going to do something different. I'm going to be spiritual. But it's like, is it working? And is it expansive? Is it connecting us to each other, to God, to greater peace and love? And, you know, again, John, I really appreciate you sharing it also personally, because what I've noticed just in being around you is that's what I feel. I came home last week after we spent time together, and I said to my wife, wow, he really just emanates a sense of surrender. And I just was so struck by that. And you said that in what you've been talking about here in our conversation, that really surrendering to God and surrendering to your higher purpose. And I would say in my question, like, how the heck did you write 7 books in 8 years? That seems to be the answer.
Right. And a guy the other day in one of my talks, funny, I was speaking at Northwestern Mutual in Utah, and he said, do you use affirmations? And I said, you know, I used to use affirmations, but not anymore, because now I just pray. And instead of asking what I want, I ask God what he wants for me.
Mm.
And then what I have found is that God's plans for me are bigger than my plans for me.
Yeah.
And I want to say that to people out there is, you know, it's a huge universe, and I believe there's a big God that we can't even fathom. The intelligence is so beyond our comprehension as human beings, that we can't even fathom it. But to know that there is a big plan for you, bigger than you could imagine, and you just have to surrender. And the more you surrender and become the conduit and become the instrument, and I always ask, you know, God, use me for your purpose, guide me towards my purpose, make me an instrument of your peace, your joy, your love, your compassion, make me a conduit for all the great things you want to do in this world, and make me a conduit for your passion and your humor, because I'm not naturally funny, so I ask God for God's humor to come through me.
That's good.
Yeah, and I'll say that, and it's amazing. The more you make yourself a conduit, you become this vessel that God then uses, and you become, you know, instead of being a resistor, you become a conductor of what I call the greatest power on earth. Mm. And it's really cool in studying, you know, Native American culture, what you find is their term for God was not a noun. God is a verb, and it's the they would use terms like it's the energy that flows through everything.
Mm.
The energy that flows through. And I just thought that was really beautiful, because we are really, God is moving through us with an energy that just moves through everybody and everything.
Yeah, it's great. You know, we're going to take another break. I know I said this before the last break and it didn't happen because we had this great, rich conversation about God and spiritual awakening. But we're going to talk a little bit about John's great books when we come back from the break. Again, we're talking
to... People may not want to read them now.
No, I think they will. I think they will. We're talking to my good friend and best-selling author, John Gordon. Check out his website at johngordon.com. You can also sign up for his free weekly positive tip. It's a great, short, very to the point, and uplifting positive email that you get once a week every Monday. Go to johngordon.com. And check it out. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about John's great books that he has. Again, you're listening to Energy Talk Radio. I'm Mike Robbins, and this is Let's Get Real. We'll be right back.
Straight from the heart of Mother Nature's glistening oceans to your pulse. While the world views pearls as symbols of beauty and wealth, for centuries, pearls have been revered as a fountain of health among naturopaths in Egypt, China, India, and Mayan cultures. For the first time in North America, Pearlseum presents pearl powder in its purest form as a health supplement. Pearlseum's patent-pending manufacturing process is revolutionary and unlike any other. After years of research, Dr. Rulan Xu has unlocked the secret of extraction of pure signal proteins from pearls. And the result? The most authentic composition of bioavailable pearl signal proteins that assist to rejuvenate the skin, bone, and vital organs. Modern science confirms what ancient medics have proven to be true. That pearl powder regenerates skin, increases collagen levels, and enhances longevity. Scientific studies using sheep prove that pearl powder can be integral to bone regeneration and substitution. Rooted in traditional wisdom and enhanced by Pearlseum is your key to radiant health, beauty, well-being, and prosperity. Become a distributor and you will be privy to a cutting-edge and revolutionary supplement. You will bring an ancient secret to light and empower thousands of people. While you inspire thousands to lead a healthy and vibrant life, you will build a solid foundation for you and your family. To order this amazing product today, or to start your path to prosperity by becoming a distributor, contact Pearlseum International. Call 1-866-446-2015.
Looking for a relationship? Experiencing money problems, or want to experience better health? The ancient spiritual science of Vedic astrology not only tells you about your future, but also offers remedies to improve all areas of your life. Astroved.com is overseen by Dattatreya Sivababa, an enlightened Siddha master who has brought these ancient life-changing services to the West. Astroved.com offers astrology readings and offers services for rituals and remedies that can change your destiny. Start changing your life today by going to astroved.com.
This is the time to bring them back.
Hey there, welcome back. You're listening to Energy Talk Radio. Glad you're with us. We are coming to you live today, January 22nd. It's just a little after 12:30 Pacific time. If you're listening to us live, feel free to call in to the studio if you have a question for me or for our great guest, John Gordon. 415-576-1008. That's 415-576-1008 is the call-in number. Or you can send an email to Mike at mike-robbins.com or go to Facebook and check out Energy Talk Radio. Gosh, it's so great, John. I got my friend and best-selling author John Gordon as our guest. We've been talking about his journey and spiritual awakening and all kinds of wonderful, interesting stuff. And, you know, John, so you had this awakening, a couple different phases of it, it sounds like, which got you into writing and then ultimately even transformed your business and your work. And you since have written these great four books and have a new one coming out that are fables, right? They're sort of different type of...
They're business life fables. They're people who work in work environments, but it's sort of, are you a hero? Are you a victim? They're people who are going through struggles and challenges and adversity and negativity. And so they're sort of fables about, main characters who are going through their own struggles. And it's great because it's a business story, but it's also a personal story. So people right. use these books for their workplace, but they also use them for their teams, their sports teams, their communities, their churches, and also their families. Mm. The best thing ever is when I get emails from people who have read The Energy Bus or The No Complaining Rule, and people are like, hey, I use this book at work and it's great, but I also gave it to my kids to read and now they're on the bus. And, and I'll have some women who will be like, I gave my husband the No Complaining Rule. It said, don't complain anymore, honey. And that was a lot of fun. Well, the No Complaining Rule is really about creating solutions, not complaints. So,
sure.
But no, it's a lot of fun. And so I try to write so it can appeal to people at different levels.
Yeah, that's great. Let's talk a little bit about The Energy Bus. And a lot of people listening, you may have this book, you may have heard of this book, either gotten it through work or at home, and John gets invited to speak to a lot of great companies. As I mentioned when I introduced him, like JP Morgan Chase, like Northwestern Mutual, you were talking about that, but also some sports teams. And a couple years ago, I know, John, you did a little work with the Jacksonville Jaguars and they read The Energy Bus, right? And then all of a sudden I was watching Monday Night Football and you're getting some credit for their success. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, working with the team in 2007. They were dealing with a lot of negativity the year before, had some challenges, and Jack Del Rio read The Energy Bus and invited me to come speak to the team, and I said, well, I'll come speak, but you have to have the players read the book. I said, you think they'll read? He said, I don't know, John, they're football players, come on. But most of them did read it, actually, and throughout the year, they kept on saying, yeah, we're staying on the bus, we're staying positive. They were quoted in the media a lot. They talked about reading the book and the impact it had on their mindset. So it was really cool to see how a team that stays positive and overcomes, the negativity that every team will have to face, what that can do. And then I worked with the Falcons the following year in 2008, and that was a lot of fun as well to see them go through the same process. And then worked with the Texas Longhorns this summer. As they were preparing for this year, and it was fun to see them go to the national championship as well. I've also, worked with teams that didn't have winning seasons. So I've realized that, positivity is a big part of it, but it's also, the coach has to believe it, the players have to believe it. You also have to have talent. You also have to execute. And so my work has taken me even more on, what it takes to really build a winning team. What do the best do better than everyone else? That's my book on training camp. How do you really get better at the things? To be great at something, you have to work really hard at it.
Yeah.
And I think we all say, oh, I want to do that. I want to be a writer like Mike Robbins. I want to go play music. I want to go do this. But to really excel at something, what I have found in my research is that it really does take hours and hours and hours of hard work and practice.
Yeah.
That you don't see from, the outside. Everyone sees the overnight success story. Behind every overnight success story, an Olympic champion, are thousands and thousands of hours of sweat and hard work and tears that really are necessary for greatness.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And, the thing that it seems as though, looking at these books that you've written, The Energy Bus, The No Complaining Rule, Training Camp, your most recent book, The Shark and the Goldfish, and, you know, these great stories, these fables that you tell, but that have application in business, obviously, where you get hired to speak a lot and people bring you in to fire up the team or get people on the bus, so to speak, but also application in life with our families, at home, you know, spiritual communities, wherever we are. Why do you think, specifically with the Energy Bus, which has been incredibly successful, what do you think about it people resonate with the most?
I think because it's about a guy named George who's miserable and negative.
Everyone can relate to that.
Right? His team at work is in disarray. He has problems at home. He was based on me, to be honest. And I think everyone can relate to this guy who wakes up Monday morning to a flat tire.
Right.
You know, and now he's fed up with life. And so many of us just truly get fed up with life and walks inside, asks his wife to take him to work, and she won't. I often say it was based on personal experience. So, so now he has to take a bus to work, and he gets on the bus and meets Joy, the bus driver. And she calls him Sugar. She has a big old smile. And, you know, Joy teaches him the 10 rules for the ride of his life that not only help him become a more positive leader, but a better father, a better husband. And, you know, it's about getting on his team on the bus and moving in the right direction. So I think everyone could relate to that. I think the story, too, of the different characters interacting on this bus going to work, you know, and the dynamic between them. And I love Joy, and she's just such a character. And, you know, when I was writing it, I initially had it as a male bus driver, and then it just came to me as I was writing, oh, no, she's a woman. Mm. And I had a clear picture of what she looked like. And so that was a lot of fun, and she's just really, you know, large, you know, African-American woman who just has this amazing energy and spirit. Mm. And she just, you know, shares that with this guy to change his life. So
yeah.
I think that it's just very real, and I think that's what people like it. I think because it's very real, people could really imagine these kind of conversations happening. And then because they read the story of someone who's negative and turns to positive, what I've had a lot of emails on is people that said, you know, it made me want to change the way I think and the way I act. And that's what I enjoy most, is that it's made them change. And I know this well because I'm naturally a negative person. I've had to work really hard, you know, to be more positive. And I think we can all relate to that guy, George.
Yeah.
He's not some Pollyanna positive guy. You know, I think, you know, he's more of a negative guy who wants to do good for his family. I think people relate to that.
Yeah, and I think what's great about it, too, is that his transformation, but also seeing the impact we can all have on each other.
Yes.
And also, I think the holistic nature of life that, you know, for people listening, you know, our work relates, obviously, to how we are with our family. How we are with our family relates to how we are, you know, personally in our own lives and all the different aspects of our lives, kind of thinking of. And I think nowadays more than ever, John, and I'm sure you see this, right? Working in businesses and with busy people, it's, you know, our lives are so demanding, and everyone's got, like you, your BlackBerry on your walk. I mean, we're 24/7 in communication with each other, but in some cases more disconnected than ever.
You're right. And you know, in the new book that I just wrote, Soup, and I just finished it today, so very excited.
Congratulations.
You know, at the end of the book in Soup, I have it where the, you know, the CEO of the company has a big meeting to celebrate their success, but that invites the employees and all their families, because the CEO realizes, and I even wrote this, the line between business and personal life has blurred so much.
Yes.
That if you want to be successful as a company, you must not only engage your employees, but you must engage their families.
Mm.
And so as part of this meeting, the CEO actually shares, you know, the goals and the dreams and the numbers where they are and where they want to be with the entire company and their families.
Nice.
And so now the families are on the bus, and the families are now involved.
Mm.
And what I say is the key is unity.
Yeah.
You know, unity is the difference between a great team and an average team.
Right.
Unity is the difference between a great country.
Mm.
You know, and I really believe we're all in search of unity.
Mm.
And so coming together for a common purpose, a common vision, is so important. And you're right. And it brings that home life and personal life and business life all together. And I think, you know, my goal, to be honest, in the works that I write, I've realized it's to inspire people in the workplace and outside the workplace, but also to show them, you know, that, you know, we can transform the workplace. It doesn't have to be a place where people souls are starving and dying every day.
Right.
You know, more people die Monday morning at 9 a.m. than any other time. You know, people rather die than go to work. I often joke, but it's no joking matter.
Yeah.
Because, you know, so many people hate their jobs. And so my hope is that I can help leaders be more compassionate, more loving, more kind, and people to actually do what they love and live their passion and stay positive through the negativity, because that's so often the key. And yeah. The Shark and the Goldfish, you know, with a very short fable that can be read in literally 30 minutes.
Yeah, I love that about it, by the way.
Thanks. That for people who don't normally read, that, you know, in that message, you can really grasp it so easily and then make the choice. I'm going to be a shark or I'm going to be a goldfish. If I think my, you know, my best days are behind me, they are.
Yes.
If I think my best days are ahead of me, they are. What you believe matters.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and for everyone who's listening, you know, if you work for a company, whether you're, you know, in a leadership position or not, you know, John's the kind of guy you absolutely want to bring in to your organization to talk to everybody. Whether
as you are as well.
Well, thank you.
As you are as well. But yeah, I think they should just get the newsletter and just read some of the articles.
Yeah.
You know, johngordon.com, johngordon.com, and just read some of those, you know, the daily, I mean, the weekly positive tips. And,
yeah.
You know, they can use them, again, for their business life and also their personal life. And
absolutely.
Their kids, too.
Absolutely. And so let's talk a little bit about some specific things that people can do, whether
sure.
it's at work or at home, you know, related to all of this great body of work that you have and all these books and all the, you know, positive tips. And, you know, what are some things? So someone's listening right now and they're thinking, yeah, man, he doesn't know where I work. He doesn't know what it's like. I deal with, you know, annoyed people, frustrated, everyone scared. People think they're going to lose their jobs, you know, complaining, we're waiting for the layoffs, whatever, you know. What do people do when they wake up? I mean, today's obviously Friday as we're recording this. Or people
today they celebrate.
Exactly. But some people will be listening to this on demand or later on the stream, and it'll be Monday or it'll be, you know,
right.
Wednesday, hump day. What do they do on a regular daily basis to bring some more positive energy into their life, John?
Well, first it starts with them. You know, you have to be the change you wish to see. So
right.
It starts with you. And I think the number one thing that you can do is to take a thank you walk. You know, you're the expert on appreciation.
Mm.
And knowing that when you take this walk of gratitude and focus on the good stuff, as you have written so eloquently about, when you do that and you take this thank you walk in the morning, it really creates a fertile mind ready for success. It helps you take on the day and take on all the challenges. People ask me, what's the number one thing that you do, John? It's that. It's the thank you walk over the past 9 years.
Wow.
That has changed my life. Every day for 9 years, you take a walk of gratitude, and it really just changes the way you think.
Wow.
So you go to work practicing gratitude. I'm thankful that I have a job,
mm-hmm.
even though it's driving me crazy. I'm thankful I get to drive in traffic, while
right.
so many can't drive a car.
Yeah.
I'm thankful that I'm alive, while so many have passed on, you know, before me.
Yeah.
And then I'm alive, and I get to go to work, and I get to make a difference, and I get to deal with the challenges. Yes, it's not a great economy, but I'm alive during this time.
Right.
And so you focus on this gratitude, and it really changes your perspective, and it changes the way you act. And then you get to work, and you say thank you to your people, and you say thank you to your customers, and you thank your colleagues. And the more you practice gratitude, the more you appreciate them, the more engaged they will be.
Right.
At work, as you know so well. So I would say that's one of the key things. Then, you know, as a leader, trust. It's really about building trust, because you can have the greatest vision in the world, but if you don't have trust, you know, your people and your team are not going to get on your bus. And number one thing that your employees and your colleagues are asking of you is, can I trust you and do you care about me?
Mm.
And so we have to build workplaces of trust. We have to build them where there's care, where we show people we care, and we do it through action. We train them, we develop them, we mentor them, we develop relationships with them. I've been sharing a lot about relationships in the workplace, and
yeah.
really that is the key driver for success.
Sure.
You know, all these principles that you can consider spiritual principles, you can
right.
consider them universal principles. They are the key to making our workplaces better and making our teams work better. And so it's all about focusing on, again, these relationships, and how do we make the relationships more meaningful, more impactful, and that lead to better teamwork, and teamwork then delivers the results.
Right.
So it's really about focusing on that.
Well, and how does it relate at home? So I know you've got, you know, two young kids, and
yep.
I do too, and people listening with their families, whether they have children or not, and how do we bring some of this stuff? Because we, you know, a lot of times we don't relate to our family as a team, maybe in the same ways that we do at work, but it really is a team.
It really is. You know, our you know, work team, our family team, our sports team. You know, you're right. It's all the same. And I wrote an article called Five Tips to Develop Positive Kids.
Mm.
And I think these things play out for any team. But I say, one, you know, each night before we go to bed, you know, share your success of the day with them and ask them to share their success. Okay,
yeah.
So you know, what's your success of the day? Every night your kids go to bed, they're going to identify their success.
Mm.
They're going to then wake up and feel like a success because they went to bed a success.
Yeah.
This breeds a lot of confidence.
That's
I also am a big believer in a bedtime prayer with your kids. This ritual gives them a foundation of peace and security and confidence that really, you know, it gives them the strength to take on the daily challenges of being a child.
Mm.
I've implemented the no complaining rule at home, and I recommend others do the same.
Mm.
You know, you're not allowed to complain unless you offer a solution. So you encourage your kids to really think about solutions, and it teaches them to be innovative and empowering. Because why do we complain, Mike? We complain because we feel powerless and because it's a habit.
Right.
And so every time you're complaining, you're actually draining your own power.
Mm.
And so instead of doing that, focus on solutions instead.
Well, and what do we do related to complaining specifically? Because I get this question a lot, and I'd be curious your take on it, when people deal with complainers. Right,
they deal with complaints.
You know, so that there's a complainer around. What do I do? This person's always negative. They're always complaining. They're always whining.
Right.
It's like, how do we deal with the complainer? I mean, look, we all do it, but sometimes there are people around us who seem to do it more.
Right.
What do we do with that person?
I tell them if they're a big energy vampire, then you buy a big steak. And no, I'm just kidding.
Right.
Garlic works actually very well.
Yes, yes.
So use I call it energy garlic.
Really?
And energy garlic is where you are so positive that their negativity can't even impact you.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be real. Every one of us is going to be surrounded by germs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have all these latest ways to now stop, you know, germs from coming to us with all these, like, hand-washing stuff.
Right.
And the fact is, you can't escape germs because they come right back.
That's right.
And so negative people, you can get rid of some, but you're going to get some more.
Right.
And so your positive energy must be greater than their negativity. Your certainty must be greater than their doubt, and you have to develop a strong immune system where the germs can't impact you.
Because
everyone has germs, but the immune system gets rid of the germs.
Mm.
And you have to have the immune system that doesn't get impacted by the negative people. And also, even better, is if you can transform them.
Mm.
Now, there are some people I recommend we avoid.
Okay.
And there are energy vampires and there are complainers that I literally will stay away from.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Because those people you may try to change, you may try to help, and I believe you invite everyone on the bus, you really do your best, but at some point, you just have to say, you know what, no matter what I do, this person's not listening, and they're not open, I can't help them, and so you don't let this person drain your energy.
Mm.
You try, but then you can't let them drain your energy. And then you love them. See, if you love them and you pray for them,
yes,
that's even the greatest thing you can do, because that gives you peace.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. Well, John, thanks so much, man. The time has flown, and we're here at the end of our our conversation. I just want to thank you so much for joining me. Thanks for being my friend and inspiring me personally, and for the great work that you're doing out there in the world. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you for your great work, Mike. And my favorite thing is when I'm out there speaking, and I'll have someone come up to me and they'll say, "Do you know Mike Robbins? Do you Mike Robbins? I read his book and I heard him speak the other day, and you guys are a lot alike." And, I love that. So great meeting a kindred spirit, and someone who also is making a difference in the world. So thanks for all you do.
Awesome, man. Hey, thanks so much. And for everyone listening, we've been talking to my friend and best-selling author, keynote speaker, consultant John Gordon. Check out his website, JohnGordon.com. You can sign up for his free weekly positive tip email newsletter, which is great. There's other free resources on the site that you can get as well. The Positive Business Manifesto, 20 Ways to Get Mentally Tough at Work. It's also lots of good stuff. Check out his site and pick up copies of his books, The Energy Bus, The No Complaining Rule, Training Camp, The Shark and the Goldfish. And it sounds like his new book, Soup, will be out in a few months. He just finished it today. Congrats, John. And for everyone listening, we've been live here today from San Francisco in the Energy Talk Radio studio. Hope you've enjoyed it. Come back anytime. This is Mike Robbins. You've been listening to Let's Get Real here on Energy Talk Radio. Make it a fantastic day.
Thanks for listening to Let's Get Real with Mike Robbins. For more information about Mike's work, his seminars, and his best-selling books, please visit www.mike-robbins.com.
Do we all get on here? There's a whole lot of life.